Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Tyler.
And this week, oh, sorry, you say it.
No, you say
it. I do.
No,
I say it.
No.
This week, we're talking about Aether Drift and the new cards that will have an impact on CEDH, maybe.
You stole my line last week, so I wanted to try to steal
your line. Not if I say it fast enough.
I felt bad.
If I say it fast enough, it's mine again.
That's true.
Aether Drift.
I'm going to get that line next time.
The race car set, it's here.
The speed racer, the set.
Yeah, that's why you got to talk as fast as you can.
That's why we're talking as fast as we can.
So we're going to be doing everything at the breakneck speed of...
As fast as we can talk.
Watch this video on 2x speed.
Don't you dare. No, it'll be too fast if they watch it on 2x speed because we're already talking too fast.
Too fast, too furious?
Too fast. Ooh, that's the next set. When we return, it better be 2 Aether, 2 Drift or something like
two
that.
2 Aether, 2 Drift. Oh, I love that idea.
I don't.
Should we talk about some of the cards that might see play in CDH from this set and the commander set?
Let's do it. Yeah. So we have 25 cards we're going to talk about. And this time, instead of going with colors, we're going to start with creature types.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Card types. Yeah, I'm not sorting them by creature types. They're still going to be in alphabetical order by card type.
All right, so people can't guess where we're going. Is that the reason?
Unless you already know the creatures.
The Moxfield list will be in the bottom of the video, so they'll be able to follow along.
That's true, and if you just sort it by type... And then name.
Yeah. Sure. Have we ever done it this way before, Cameron?
No, we haven't.
We're just adding a little chaos just for fun, just to keep things going.
Will it make us go faster? Is that why? Is it on theme?
It could. Yeah, I think it will make us go faster.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the first one?
All right. So the first one then is Captain Howler, Sea Scourge. Ooh. This is 2 a blue and a red for a legendary creature, Shark Pirate. He's a 5/4 with Ward 2, pay 2 life. That's the ward cost. Whenever you discard one or more cards, target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn for each card discarded this way. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player this turn, you draw a card. That's cool. I forgot that it can target other people's shit.
Oh, interesting. And you'll still draw the card.
Yeah, you draw the card. So, like, you can do this as someone's trying to get in at, like, maybe someone's Narset. They don't think it's going to kill it. And then now you can.
How is it worded? Is it, if you Wheel of Fortune and discard 7 cards, can you give 7 creatures +2 and have them each have a draw trigger on attack? Or is that not how is it worded?
It's one or more cards, and then the creature gets that +2/+0 for each card discarded this way.
Okay.
So each instance that causes you to discard multiple things, the +2/+0 will be multiplied by that many cards, but you can't choose additional targets.
So if I Wheel of Fortune, I can potentially give a creature +14/+14 if I'm discarding 7 cards.
Exactly.
One creature.
Yes.
But if I have something that is a discard outlet, each time I discard 1 card, I can give a separate creature +2, and when it deals damage, just draw a card.
And it would be +14/+0, but not +14/+14.
Sorry, +14/+0. Okay. This is card advantage. This does a lot of weird things.
You have to build around it a little bit weird, but there are great cards like Faithless Looting and...
Yeah.
Name another card.
It kind of only draws 1 card. Most of the stuff, like you're talking about, if you were to do this to an opponent's creature, you would be wanting to do that at instant speed. And I think there are very few of these, like, Wheel, Faithless Looting type effects that are instant speed.
Hapless Researcher is like a 1-mana creature that you could sacrifice to draw and discard.
it draws you only one card if a creature deals damage. I think this is just like, what if Iruth was shitty? Like, that's all we're talking about here.
We should mention Tori did play this on our gameplay channel when we played these decks against each other. It's a solid blue-red shell. It draws cards, but I think you might be right. It doesn't explode in the way that other blue-red commanders can.
It works really well with the cards that can consistently loot, like the 4-mana Teferi that lets you loot on everyone's turn, or even just like Jace Varin's Prodigy that can get you some like incidental other value too. It's worth noting that it's a huge beater because one discard pumps him up to a 7-power creature, which means that you can kill someone with just 3 hits. So it's definitely threatening. And with Ward 2 and 2 life, that's a cost you have to look out for as on someone on the receiving end.
And if you can kill an opponent with only 3 hits, then that means you can kill all of your opponents with only 9 hits. So if you make it to turn 9 after playing this commander on turn 1, you might win the game.
I'm just saying that like player removal is an option with this commander when it needs to be.
You're right.
But it's not going. You're right. Going to win you the whole game.
But there are situations when you can discard a big chunk at once and make your commander huge for the turn. That probably will come up and you'll be able to just take out one player when you need to.
Oh yeah, your Wheel of Fortune just needs then like one more discard card than for Captain Howler to take someone out in one shot right away. So
not gonna happen. Let's go.
I give it a 2.
I will also give him a 2.
I will give him a 1.
So this is Captain Howler. Is it 2? Okay.
Well, Tyler gave him a 1. So what's the average between a 1, a 2, and a 2? Was that a 1.75?
A 1 and 2, too. So it's 5 divided by 3. So you're talking about
I guessed 1.75, and you almost said 1.75.
Wait, so it's 1 and 2/3. So 1.66666.
Nice, 1.666.
So 1.7.
No, it's 1.6 repeating.
No, 3 sixes only.
No, it's...
Because metal. Because the devil.
Now you're going to get this demonetized.
Wait, did I even...
One time I tried to put the original Demonic Tutor art into a thumbnail, and it demonetized the video.
Demonetized the video. So, that's so funny, right?
Because it has the pentagram in the back. And
don't put this in the video then. What's the next creature we're talking about?
District Guide. That's not what it's called. That's
District
a different
Mascot.
Card. District Mascot. All right, so this is 1 and a green for a 0/0 creature dog mount. This creature enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it, and you can pay 1 and a green to remove 2 +1/+1 counters from this creature to destroy an artifact. And whenever this creature attacks while saddled, you can put a +1/+1 counter on it, and its saddle cost is 1.
It's 1 green. You said 1 and a green. I just want to make a little small difference.
It's just green.
It just being green mana, 1 mana creature, makes this card almost something. If this were 2 mana, this would go right into the garbage.
To say 1, a green.
Yeah. Just green mana.
Yeah,
1, so this does go directly into one deck that doesn't exist anymore, Kona.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Because it saddles,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah, because it saddles. So this would
actually be maybe reasonable in Kona, but, like, this is not it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it destroys an artifact, right, but not an enchantment. So, like, if you're going to run a Haywire Might effect, you still run Haywire Might over this. And if you need something that is tapping your creatures without them attacking, there are still a lot of other options that are lands and other things. This is not getting run in Magda. Like, it's...
Well, yeah, because Magda's mono red.
Magda's mono red, yeah.
That's why I wouldn't run it in Magda.
If it was red, maybe it would be good in Magda.
Yeah, we might talk about another card like that very soon. But yeah, I feel like this is build your own Haywire Might with a couple extra steps that still can't get rid of the One Ring when Haywire Might can.
But when I put Kona back together...
This is something else that will go there, yeah. We should rate it. We got to rate it.
A 1.
A 1. Delete. All right. Next card is Gilded Goda. This is 1 and a red for a horse mount. It's a 2/2. Whenever this creature attacks while saddled, you create a treasure token, and its saddle cost is 1.
Magda.
Yeah, so this is like another vehicle for Magda, except you can't saddle at instant speed, which immediately makes this worse.
Yeah.
But a vehicle that makes a treasure is still kind of interesting. There's going to be times where... You just need one more treasure in Magda to win the game, and this will give you that push on your main phase to be able to tap all your dwarves, get in for damage, and then, like, during combat, you can even go off.
3? This card goes in Magda, maybe.
This card might go in Magda.
It's not an all-star in Magda, but it's a slot. It's an option. It goes in the box for potentials for Magda.
And we're getting some other Magda cards in this set, too, so I don't even know if there's going to be room for a shitty vehicle in your deck. So I would give this a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to say a 2 as well. If it goes in one deck, maybe not certainly, that's a 2.
Our next card is, I'm really excited about. This is Hashatan, Scarab's First.
Yeah.
This is a white and a black for a 1/3 legendary zombie wizard. Whenever you discard a creature card, you can pay 2 and a blue. If you do, create a tap token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 4/4 black zombie.
That is not the text of this card.
What is the text?
It's Scarab's Fist, not Scarab's First.
Oh,
is
Scarab's
it really Fist?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
What is he, Pernita Ponker Jazz? That's a great joke that you'll get soon.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't get that at all.
That's a Bleach character you haven't met yet.
Okay.
That's a great reference. An awesome reference.
Okay. This commander's awesome. Esper colors for only two colors. I think this is something. I put this deck together. I think it does some really powerful things, being able to discard things and have just the thing come into play for just three mana. A three mana Razaketh, a three mana Hoarding Broodlord, a three mana instant speed Thassa's Oracle, a three mana Uncounterable Grand Abolisher. There's a lot of good things that this card does, and I'm excited for it in CDH because I think it might be something.
Yeah, a lot of people have talked about it, and when I initially looked at the card, I was like, eh, this costs five to do the thing once. This seems too expensive. But I didn't see the LED lines. I think this is kind of like Oswald, where it has unbelievable LED lines that can do like really broken shit. But short of that, it's a little telegraphed to like set up the whole discard line and stuff. It does make stuff effectively uncounterable, but people are going to be able to remove your commander if they see it coming. However, unlike Oswald and any other decks that have like an explosive one trick if you find the correct one thing in the deck, its floor is still good Esper deck, like good stuff Esper deck. It's not all the way good stuff Esper deck, because I think you still have to run a bunch of like big creatures that you wouldn't necessarily run even in a reanimator deck to make the effect worth it, to have a density where you're going to have the right creature in your hand that you actually want to cheat into play. Its floor is still like mostly good stuff Esper deck, so I think it's good, but I don't think it's going to be like game-breakingly busted. Like Ian said something like Nadu level, yeah. And I was like,
I don't know about that. I don't know that this is a tier one deck, but I do think this could be a solid tier two deck that could take down tournaments. I don't think that that's completely out of line. A couple things that I want to mention about it quickly: it doesn't care if the card actually touches the graveyard. All it cares about is discard. So things like Rest in Peace, you don't really care about any graveyard hate that you might normally with something like this. Another thing that I wanted to mention that also is just important, the tap thing. That's a bad thing about this, is the creature comes in tapped, which means that your Hoarding Brood lines sometimes are a little bit more tricky because you want to tap things to convoke, so that makes things a little bit trickier. Also, Tortured Existence is a pretty neat one with like Palancrone and the Drake that untaps five lands.
Oh, yeah, because Palancrone untaps seven and Peregrine Drake untaps five lands.
Yeah, so if you have a bunch of lands, five of them at least, and another creature, you have a way to basically create like infinite tapped copies of the Peregrine Drake by like spending the mana, activating the ability, going back and forth. You need like another creature in your graveyard to get that creature back and then bring the Peregrine Drake or whatever copy in, which untaps your lands so that you can use a black mana and a three mana from your commander to discard again and make another copy of it and untap.
That's just a shame that Hashitan isn't an outlet for the infinite mana. It's like you need something else, but like making, how do you lose the game then once you make infinite mana?
You'll make infinite tapped creatures. You make infinite tapped Peregrine Drakes or whatever.
Oh, I guess that's true too.
So if you do it in someone's end step, you could theoretically untap. I don't have these cards in my version right now. Maybe I should be. You have to have five lands in play. Five lands is kind of a lot.
Whoever has five lands.
That's kind of a lot. You know what I mean? But it is kind of interesting, and you do make infinite tapped creatures. So if you have another thing that can sack them from value or way to get Razaketh, you can tutor up whatever you want, or you just untap with them and attack. That's something too.
I was going to say, like, Ancient Tomb is a land, though, but that also puts you on a clock.
Yeah,
like, that's you don't, not infinite
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you probably still want that in this deck because you just want to be able to activate Hashitan a bunch.
Either way, I think that the curve of turn one, discard outlet, turn two, Hashitan, already holding up your Fierce Guardianship into turn three, game-winning potential, I think is still really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Hashitan, I think a four.
I think I'm going to give it a four. Yeah, I also, I really quick want to mention just the discard outlets. Putrid Imp and the, what's the white one's name? Tireless Tribe?
Tireless Tribe.
I think those cards are really good. One mana, repeatable, instant speed, uncounterable discarding. Not that it's uncounterable, but it effectively is. I think that's really powerful. I'm even playing Hapless Researcher and Underworld Cookbook, which is an artifact that taps allow you to discard a card. I'm not sure about it, but I just think I agree with you. The curve of turn one, discard outlet, turn two, Hashitan, turn three, Consecrated Sphinx or Nezahal or Hoarding Broodlord, that's going to be good. So I'm going to shoot for that as the curve, and then in between play other good cards.
I think it's worth saying that this is also a really good Abdaladrian deck. Abdaladrian Orcish Bowmaster line like is much easier to fire off in this deck uncounterably than in most.
Yeah.
And that's a creature based line, so it, if you can get to that point, that's an easy way to win. And finally, I also think it's worth saying that, you know, we talked about this kind of being like Esper good stuff, but I think in reality, if you're building this from scratch, instead just go find a Rafine deck, take out all the weird little like attackers, and then replace replace them with good cards.
Big giant creatures.
That's basically it. Yeah, you get to play Mox Amber better. Yeah.
I'm going
to
give this one a 4.3 because we haven't entered the decimals yet, and I'd like to start pissing Tyler off.
Great.
And I think this card is actually going to be a real CDH deck and probably my pick for card of the set, so 4.3 for me.
Sure, I'll give this a 4.51.
Oh, better than me? I want to change my answer. 4.52 is what
I
give it.
I'm not allowing takebacks this time. That's actually part of the meta today, is that we're not doing takebacks. So Hashatan will come in at a 4.27 for the set review. That sounds great.
Yeah, and that's to say a 4 relative to other sets and a 5 relative to this set.
Yeah, yes.
For CEDH.
House Squad Heavy is 2 and a red for a Goblin Mercenary. That's a 2-3. That's Start Your Engines, our first instance of this. That means that when it enters the battlefield, if you have no speed, you get speed. And then every time your opponent is damaged on your turn, you get another speed, but just once per turn. And then when you have max speed, you get another effect then too. So this one just says regularly, other goblins you control have haste, and at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token, and that token attacks this combat if able. And if you have max speed, you can tap this guy to add red for each goblin you control.
Can we talk about max speed real quick?
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is hilarious because I think it's pretty clearly supposed to evoke like shifting a manual transmission, right? Like going up in gears. And that is just so far from relevant anymore. Like, it is hard to find manual cars that are new cars anymore. Like, I drive a manual car. I just got a new one. I love them. But that is like a niche interest at this point.
Yeah.
And so to just like print that on commander cards, like everyone is going to like understand this reference. I feel like there's an entire generation of people who are not, that's not going to click for without like being told.
No, the art, it's really good.
And why
though.
Should it? Like,
in the art, he's using two pedals. It's actually really, really flavorful this way, actually.
Really? Because you need three pedals to drive a manual car, Cameron, so...
No, but I'm saying that he is 1 foot on two... on. They each have a pedal.
1 foot on two pedals?
One how pedal for each foot so far.
How can you even see the pedals? What do you... Oh, I'm looking at different art for it, aren't I?
I'm looking at the original art.
This card is great in Winota?
You're
know.
Right, because it's the only deck that plays Goblin Rabble Master.
It's another Goblin Rabble Master that can eventually make your goblins tap for mana. That's something. This is a decent max speed payoff in Commander, in Krenko, mono red Krenko. I don't see it in CDH.
My problem with max speed is that I feel like the game, maybe not as much anymore in CEDH, but I feel like the games that you have speed, you're not going to get to max speed a lot of the time, especially because in CEDH, everyone's going to be aware of your speed situation and will actively be trying to do things to make sure you can't increase your speed on your turn too.
If max speed said when you have it, you win the game, I think it would be much more better in CEDH. But
or
just
if I could play another max or like another speed card to increase my speed.
I guess so. It just seems like even like the max speed payoffs aren't really that great in CDH. They're like limited payoffs, it seems, a lot of the times. Like, this creature has double strike now. Your goblins tap for a mana.
But I think we can all agree, like, thank God we have another uninteractable thing that must be tracked without any dedicated tracking mechanism outside of the board state so that everyone just has to remember it. Thank you, Wizards.
All right, what are we giving Hal Squad Heavy?
A 1.
A 1?
Yeah, I think a 1.
Delete. All right. So our next card then is Ketramos, the New Dawn. This is 1, a white, and a black for a legendary god. It's a 4-4 with menace, lifelink, and indestructible, but can't attack or block unless there are 7 or more cards in exile. And whenever 1 or more cards are put into exile from graveyards and or the battlefield during your turn, you draw a card and lose a life.
That's 7 or more cards in exile across all games of Magic or only in your game?
Only in your game.
That's so much worse. All
right. But it doesn't just count your exile. Like, it counts everyone's exile. So, like, as people...
Wait, like, everyone?
Everyone at the pod.
I don't know why I keep... Sorry.
Yeah, everyone, yeah. No, that's a good
clarification.
It
doesn't specify. It doesn't say everyone in the game.
It doesn't. It does not specify. Yeah, so you have to call your dad and see if he has any in exile,
any cards in exile, yeah.
But there's a lot of really cool ways to draw your deck if you have a discard outlet in play like Putrid Imp. This is another great Putrid Imp deck. And the... Artifact that says whenever you discard a card, you can put it into exile.
Containment Construct.
That one works with it too.
There's a 1-mana one, I think.
I played the card in the deck already. Chittering something. I don't know.
Currency Converter? Or
That's what it is.
Currency converter.
There's also Bag of Holding. Bag of Holding does the same thing.
Bag of Holding does the same thing, yeah. But basically, it allows you to draw your...
entire deck for as much life as you have in that case.
So like
then.
Probably your 35-ish cards. It's a Necropotence. It's a build your own Necropotence, but you get it right now.
For a really cheap cost too.
I also think this card is great with like things like the relics. Any of the little artifacts that tap to exile a card from someone's graveyard, which is basically tap to draw you a card. I think that's great.
Oh yeah, there's
only
a lot
during
of
your turn.
Only during your turn.
Which
yeah,
I think is relevant
turn.
Because like, you know, stuff like Soul Call, like things that you might already play that exile things from opponent's yards that you are often using to stop an Underworld Breach Line, you have to face down the choice between like, do I hold this up to stop something or do I use it to draw a card on my turn? So like, it really, it will matter sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. The deck seems really strong when you can get your engine going, and like, if you just have him out and then have like one or two of those graveyard exilers, you can really start to churn through your deck a little bit more. Yeah. The win conditions are a little bit tough. I found if someone else is playing Thassa's Oracle, it's way easier for you to win the game.
Praetor's Grasp it or Reanimate it or something.
Exactly. Yeah. But some of the other pieces that I played were like the 4-mana enchantment. This is whenever you discard a card, you get to drain someone, which lets you go through your entire library because you're netting no life. I guess you're netting neutral in that way. But you don't have enough cards in your library to ping the entire table down unless there's already been a ton of damage that's been dealt. So it's not like a guaranteed win that you can set up in that way.
So once again, Abdul Adrian lines, I started brewing this and then stopped, and it basically was because it can do the thing very well, but then you're kind of left with like, all right, now how do I win in Orzhov? In the same way that a lot of Plagon players will be like, yeah, it can like go nuts and really do the thing, but then you have to win in Azorius, which is difficult. Like putting the actual wind together can be hard.
And a lot of these lines you're looting because you have to discard a card to your imp to exile it to get your things. Like you're also trying to sculpt the hand. You don't get every single resource in your deck. It's not like the Thrasios decks where you get to play out all of the mana rocks that you go through as you're going through your line.
Yeah,
so
if you start low on cards, no matter what you're gonna end up low on cards. You can't compile. I do think it's probably one of the better options we have for an Orzhov commander, for just a black white commander for CDH. I don't know. Lotho was kind of like the best option that I've seen so far. And I think having card advantage and a potential weird win options might be better than Lotho.
I think so too. Cards is better than mana in the command
cards
zone for
mana.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this thing is pretty easy to turn on as a creature. You're never going to get hit in combat again. It's actually kind of a bummer that it doesn't enter like as an enchantment and is only a creature when you hit the requirement. Like
it can still be swords even though it can't attack or
which
block.
Is a huge bummer. Then like can really set you back. Either way, I think Ketramos is pretty good. I'm only going to give him a 3. I'll give him a 3.5 because that's probably the ceiling that this guy can be at. I don't think this is going to go anywhere outside of the tier 2.5 range because your color combination is just kind of holding you back a little bit. So same with your win con. But it's a hell of a lot of fun. If you love drawing your deck, this is a great commander that will do that.
3.5. I'll also give this a 3.5. Yeah, I think that's right. And I also want to say, why does this cost 3 and Hashitan cost 2? That upsets me.
Yeah,
it's something about the stat line probably.
Because
like,
Hashitan didn't get put into standard. That's why.
That's why. They could make Hashitan better. Hashitan's technically a commander card.
Yeah, it's from the...
I have no idea what they print things into because what the fuck is standard?
Loot the Pathfinder. 2, a green, a blue, and a red for a legendary beast noble 2/4 with double strike, vigilance, and haste. And loot has 3 different exhaust abilities, which can only be used once. For a green and tapping loot, you can add 3 mana of any one color. For a blue and tapping loot, you can draw 3 cards. And for a red and tapping loot, you can deal 3 damage to any target.
Couple things to mention. If loot leaves the battlefield and returns, he has forgotten that he has exhausted himself, or so he can do one of those abilities again. That's kind of important to know for all the combos that I've seen of this deck. They kind of involve tapping loot for some mana and then using like a Deadeye Navigator or something to reset him in some way.
My favorite one is Food Chain.
Yeah.
Because you get to make infinite Food Chain mana. With your other thing, and as long you do need the green mana in order to tap loot, in order to make sure that you can start using loot's abilities at first.
Can we explain that? Or?
Yeah, so if you have an extra green when you have your food chain going.
An extra non-creature only.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So like you cast food chain and then you have was still like a forest up.
Important, you cast food chain, you exile a Mist Hollow Griffin to be able to make mana and then recast Mist Hollow Griffin to make infinite mana. We've talked about food chain before and we don't mention the other part. We just say food chain.
Exactly,
but I just
want
to say that real quick. You need the other card. You need a creature that can be cast from exile to get that loop going first.
So once you cast your Mist Hollow Griffin infinitely and make infinite creature mana, with that you can cast a loot, and since loot has haste, with that extra forest that you have, then you can tap loot to make green mana. Then you can exile loot, recast loot, and start using that loot green to make infinite mana of your 2 other colors, so that way you can either just like deal damage to the whole table, or if someone has protection with the One Ring, you can draw your deck.
Yep, that's pretty much it. There's a couple other loops that work besides Food Chain with a similar thing using like Kinnan, Bonner Prodigy, and Deadeye Navigator. The loot will make 4 mana, which will allow you to make infinite mana that way as well. Overall, I think this is going to be a great teamer good stuff commander, but doesn't Rogthrass do a similar-ish thing like 3 turns earlier? That was kind of maybe my only fear with this card.
I think this is a Food Chain commander that is just not the best option, but like it is a cool card. I like that they're using the like Garth One Eye space a little more by doing 3 like classic spells as the abilities that are very powerful spells. There's cool stuff about it. So like basically it's a reasonable Food Chain commander if you want to.
The abilities are powerful. That any target that came up in our game, that is kind of fun to hold. The drawing 3 cards at once is a huge boost, and every time you recast him, you'll be able to do one of those abilities again. He can attack right away. He's got double strike. He can activate right away after he attacks because of the vigilance. He's got a couple things going for him, but he's a 5 mana commander in a space where normally the commanders are 2 and 0 mana, Rogthrass, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think those two decks are doing some different things. Like, Rogthrass wants to make as much mana as it can and try to, like, win the game through an infinite mana combo with different infinite mana different, combos.
Yeah, I guess yeah. I'm summarizing infinite mana teamer stuff, but they are the approach is very different.
Yeah, they're
right.
Separate combos. I think, with the exception of Food Chain, the other loot lines are just a little bit clunkier to set up. I think Rogthrass is still going to hold the rug crown on its head. Loot's worse than Ketramos, though, right? So, like, I think Loot just gets a regular 3.
I think it gets a 3.
I think a solid 3, I will give it.
We all agreed twice in a row.
I think we all agreed twice in a row.
Yeah, on a not wild number either. Wow, okay. All right, well, let's talk about Market Back Walker. This is 2x for a artifact creature construct that's a 0/0, but it enters with X +1/+1 counters on it. You can pay 4 mana to put a +1/+1 counter on it, and when this creature dies, you draw a card for each +1/+1 counter on it.
This is kind of like Walking Ballista, kind of like Hangar Back Walker, kind of like in that same sort of family. I don't know where it goes, but I'm sure some deck can use this.
I think this one will be a little bit harder to loop, but you can still cast it for infinite, or for, I guess, 99 mana.
Yeah.
And then have a sac outlet and then draw your whole deck. In the decks that don't have an outlet in the command zone, this is just like another option that you could have for infinite mana if you're trying to do that.
I have no thoughts on this card because I didn't actually read it. I just spent the entire time doing this to the tune of Paperback Writer in my head, and I'm sorry.
Flubs, it's a 0. It's a free spell for Flubs.
Oh, wow. I get to give this card a 2.5 instead of a 2?
2.5 for Flubs.
Nice. Okay. What are you going to give
it, Tyler?
We're
doing the 4 Flubs. If we're doing the one deck thing, I'm still giving it a 2, just like I did with the Magda card.
2.5. Plus
still didn't
2.5.
It's 2.66, remember?
Is 2.3 repeating.
Shit.
What's the name of this card?
It's mod. Whatever the remainder is, if the remainder is 1, it's going to be 0.3 repeating. If the remainder is 2, it's going to be 0.6 repeating, because we're talking in thirds.
Obviously, remainder,
if we're doing integers, we each do an integer, then the remainder is going to be in thirds.
Obviously, we know that. We all know that. All
right, next is Mindspring Merfolk. This is a blue mana for a Merfolk Wizard that's a 1/1 with Exhaust X 2 blue and tapping it to draw X cards and then put a 1/1 counter on each Merfolk you control.
I don't know if this is good, but this is kind of interesting to have on a 1 mana value creature that Ranger Captain can find.
That's kind of interesting.
I don't know what deck wants it.
That's the thing.
It's like a one-time infinite mana outlet where like you can use this to draw your deck, but like it's not repeatable. Like I don't know. I feel like it's worse than existing outlets. Yeah, you have to tap it. Like
it's a great Merfolk card if you're playing casual commander merfolk,
but I don't see the spot for this in CDH. Yeah. But it has text that is like feels CDH right. Worthy, so worth keeping an eye on, but I don't think it goes in any current decks that I can think of.
I would hate to play this and be building up my mana to put it into this and then have it get bow mastered when I tapped out for some other spell instead.
If it had evasion, I would say Yuriko could definitely use it, but without evasion that does make it a little bit trickier.
Otherwise it's just literally Fugitive Wizard.
A one.
Delete.
Yeah, that's fine. No one.
All right, great. Molt Tender is a green mana for a 1/1 insect druid that has 2 tap abilities. The first one is to mill a card, and the other one also makes you exile a card from your graveyard, but you get to add a mana of any color.
This is kind of like a mana dork.
It's really appealing to try and Kinnan. I'm not sure I'm going to, because they just don't always have something in the graveyard, but with fetch lands, like, there's a reasonable chance.
It fuels itself for when you don't have something, too. Like, it sucks you have to take the turn off to do that, but
it's like a very fixed Deathrite Shaman, an extreme extremely fixed Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah, we're like,
yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's very much Deathrite Shaman.
You can't hit your opponents and like have it be graveyard hate, but the upside is if you, like a creature dies, you can also turn that into mana if you want.
Does Tyum want this? Tyum already's milling stuff. This mills for
Tyum. Probably wants this more than Kinnan does,
right? Yeah. I think maybe Tyum could use something like this. Certain green decks will love to have access to another type of mana dork. This is gonna feel like a Birds of Paradise when it's doing its thing. It makes a mana of any color, right?
Honestly, so half the time, I think it's gonna be straight up better than like Avacyn's Pilgrim or like a lot of those other.
Yeah, if you're playing like, if you're playing a ton of fetch lands, like Timnath Thrasios, I don't use my graveyard for anything, but I'm playing all the fetch lands, so like I don't care about Underworld Breach saving the card in there for that. I don't care about I don't care about any of that. So like, maybe it goes in Timnath.
I almost don't care about the Exalted from the Noble Hierarch. So like, is this almost better than
it's just like
Noble Hierarch? Maybe I'm like gaslighting myself into thinking
I don't know
that,
about
the
that.
Inconsistency is going to be
huge. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're not
like,
always going to.
Thrasios Timnath also isn't good at just like throwing cards into your graveyard either. So like, there are specific Tyum decks that this niche is going to fit into nicely, but I think maybe 2.5 is the highest I could go.
Here's what I think is really worth saying, just because this is where I'm at with the Kinnan. If you were running Gilded Goose, this is probably better than Gilded Goose, because Gilded Goose, like, it gets to do it one time, and then you can make another food, but it costs to make another food. And here, you can mill another card, but it costs you, like, one turn off to make another card. So they're very similar in that way.
This is way better than the Goose. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know about way better, but definitely
Goose has got
better.
A couple toughness, right?
The couple toughness
doesn't die to Bowmaster.
That's relevant, yeah.
Fair. In a vacuum, I think this is way better than the Goose, but in the meta, you might be right. Yeah, Okay, I could see
2.6,
that.
2.6, I'll give it.
2.6, okay.
I'll give it a 2.7.
All right. My God, this guy always one-ups me.
Make him go first, and then you can,
You got to go first next time.
Wow, it's a 2.6. I had to do math to figure that out. I could have just taken fucking your number. What the fuck? Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to talk about Ovia, Automech Artisan. She's 3 and a green for a 1/2 legendary human artificer that says each creature that's attacking one of your opponents has trample. That's interesting. That's all your opponents too. For a green and tapping her, you may put a creature or vehicle card from your hand onto the battlefield. If you put an artifact onto the battlefield this way, you get to put 2 +1/+1 counters on it.
I think for CDH, it'll probably just for the most part be that creature part if this card is going to be seeing play. I think having an Elvish Piper in the command zone is kind of interesting. It does something similar that Kona does, but Kona is one not good, and Kona can do it right away sometimes. So to me, that says maybe not so much, but that trample to not only all your creatures, but all of your opponent's creatures when they attack each other, it incentivizes everyone to kill each other, which is good for mono green.
That's a way better thing to give your opponents than like what Edric does.
Yes.
In theory, that's good for mono green. Here's my problem. I think it's like you say, where the part about putting a creature in for free, the Elvish Piper text, is worse than how Kona does it. And while on its face, it seems like giving trample to all the stuff that's attacking your opponents is good because it's lowering their life total, it also is good for Timnath decks that are trying to get through and get that one damage through. So I actually think that sort of is a wash. Like, it cancels itself out, and sometimes you're just going to help your opponents draw more cards if they're in a Timnath strategy. I personally think this is just on a level with where Kona is right now. I don't think it goes in the 99 of any other decks that I can think of. So to me, this one is like a 2.1.
I could see a 2.1. Yeah, I think you might be right. I think some of the other mono green options might be better still, right? Like the Sovalas and the Yisans are probably still better than what this
Lumra
does.
I think Lumra is sweet right now, too. Lumra, like, Lumra is better than this.
I lost to Lumra the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. I beat it, but then it beat me back, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think 2.2 is what I'll give it.
2.2 is what you'll give it?
Yeah, that's what I'll give it.
All right, well, I'm going to give it a 2 so that we can just go with the 2.1. All right, Pit Automaton.
Do you need help?
This is a 2-mana 0/4 construct artifact creature with Defender that taps for 2 mana that can only be used for activated abilities. And for 2 mana and tapping it, when you activate an ability that's an exhaust ability this turn, you get to copy it. Let me start that one over. For 2 mana and tapping it, when you next activate an exhaust ability this turn, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Why did I read that?
The
that
exhaust doesn't matter. It's Godo, maybe. Godo. I think maybe Godo wants this card because it's a 2 mana tap for 2 for the equipping of Helm. So maybe Godo.
So it's a 2?
It can't help you reach the... Isn't the number you need like 11 and that's just to like cast it? Or is that also to equip?
That's 11 also is to also equip.
Oh, okay. So it can factor into that cost.
It's 2 of the 11. happen. Yeah.
Probably only that deck.
Probably only that deck.
Yeah, so it's a two.
It's a two.
Because it makes two of the 11.
Yeah, I turn one Mountain Soul Ring into this. I think a Goto player would be fine with that start. So, yeah, I think this is...
Cameron, best line of the conversation.
Wait, what did you say? I completely missed it.
He said it gets a two because it makes two out of the 11, man.
Yeah.
It gets a two. Yeah. Dude, he knows it.
It's the only one that we rated out of 11.
Okay. it is specifically a two out of 11. Yeah. So what does that mean it's out of 10,
Tyler? Why would
Tyler?
You say so? No, I refuse. I'm not playing this game.
How do you convert two out of 11 into out of 10? There's got to be a way to do that mathematically.
Yeah, people, you have to, the denominators just have to.
The lowest common, lowest common denominator.
Top by the bottom,
which
by
I
the
think
top.
Is 110. So then you have to multiply. Yeah,
you're talking about cross multiplication.
To 11.
I got sucked into it anyway. I knew they were doing this. I knew they were doing that, and then I got...
What's the next creature we're talking about?
Samut the Driving Force is 3, a red, a green, and a white for a 4/5 legendary creature, human warrior cleric with first strike, vigilance, and haste. Start your engines! Other creatures you control get plus X plus O, where X is your speed, and non-creature spells you cast cost X less to cast, where X is your speed.
This is like a Jetmir. 6 mana, your creatures are going to get +1/+0 right away. Once they deal damage that turn, it'll be +2 for the next turn. And then after that, it'll be up to turn 3 for that one.
And then your Finale of Devastation can make you free mana.
A Birthing Pod is going to cost you just a Phyrexian at some point, which will be nice, maybe.
All for the low, low price of 6 mana, which just makes it much worse than Rocco.
Yeah,
that's a 1.5.
You have to spend a full 6 mana first.
Absolutely not.
I think you're probably right. 1.6, I'll give it.
Stop 1.6.
Doing that. I think it's another Nye option, though. I think it's somewhere around Jetmir. Jetmir being 4 mana is probably nicer than 6 mana, but the non-creature stuff costs less. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting in the colors that want you to play only creatures.
But it makes your tutors, your best cards, like, really good, I think. It makes your Finale Devastation, which is, like, the best card as a Nye.
It's silly better. When you're trying to... Finale or Invasion of Ikoria for Kiki Jiki, but, like, this makes that way more... viable, because that's realistically a combo you're trying to play in this deck.
Yeah, if you're interested, I have a Marath deck I'd like to sell you.
What are you giving Samut, Tyler? What do you got?
1.5.
Yeah, 1.6 for me.
And then I'm going to give Samut... Wait, what did you say? 1.5?
Yes.
Okay, well, I typed in 1.1, so that's what I'm going to give Samut.
But 1.1. That's not what... The average... Okay.
So that means that we'll divide by 3, and that means that Samut will end up at a 1.4.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
What is the next one?
Shifet Archfiend is, I think, a reprint.
Is it?
I don't think so. I think it's just very similar to another card. Are you thinking of Archfiend of Despair?
That's not a reprint. I feel like I knew that name from something. Shifet Dunes and the Archfiend that also had cycling. Two Amonkhet cards I was shoving together. Yeah. Interesting. Well,
what's
this is 5/2 black for a 5/5 demon with flying. When it enters, all other creatures get -2/-2, and it has cycling of 2.
the cycling too. I like this in Hashatan. I'm not positive. It's 5 mana to put it right into play. But I like that it's a discard all on its own. It is the discard, and then with Hashatan, you just put it right into play. Again, 5 mana is a lot, but if you're leaving up mana, I don't know. I think it's something. And you can also use it as a reanimation target later. It can just cycle right now to draw you a card. You can reanimate it on another turn to do something. I like it in that reanimation strategy, I think. You don't like it?
No. No, I think it's only good in that deck, and I think that deck has a long way to go to like figure out what kind of an optimal version is, and I am almost certain that this doesn't make
sense. He's just saying that because it's good against Kinnan. Don't listen to him.
Weirdly enough, I feel like I would still prefer Massacre Worm, even though I have to work to get it into my graveyard. Like, the upside of Massacre Worm is that it also kills my opponents when it goes off.
Interesting.
And
okay.
It has the same ETB at the same time, so... Yeah.
I really like the cycling ability on it. That's just like stapled on it. You can just get it into the graveyard whenever you want.
I might be totally undervaluing that too, because it also like gets you another card too by replacing itself that way. And like, my version would have to have Entomb for that effect. And at that point, why am I not just winning the game?
Yeah, so it's not as powerful as like directly compared to other cards, but the fact that you can discycle it and discard it on its own, I think that's worth noting.
In Hashatan, when you can use it as like an instant speed interaction, I think that's what makes it really good there. So I think I'm only going to give it a 1.5 for that reason.
Honestly,
but...
even if you're just like in a reanimation deck, like if you're all in on like I'm Reanimator, I think this is like another solid option that you can put in because you don't have to Entomb for it. You can just like cycle it to draw a card and then later on like reanimate it to like get rid of Collector Oof or something like that.
I guess when you need to do that, that's kind of nice. But like, I feel like most of the time I'm just trying to win the game, and the times that it's in my hand and it's not helping me win the game, I might be, again, undervaluing how good the cycling is and how much it just like fuels itself with what you're doing too.
I will also give this 1.5. I'm with Cam on this.
2.6 for me. I like this card.
It is a very Dylan card that goes into like a very Dylan strategy. So I do feel like you would know better than us.
Just having something that plays two roles in a reanimation strategy, I think, is like a worthy tool. Like, I would rather play this than like... It's just like going to be like another Lightning Bolt. Rather than Lightning Bolt, I'm going to play this because it's going to feel like a Lightning Bolt when I cast Reanimate
it's
on it to
do
destroy
more,
six creatures.
You're
going to
love the score that it got, Dylan.
What did it get?
1.86 repeating.
Nice.
Nice. All right. Next one, Transit Mage. This is 2 and a blue for a human wizard that's a 2/2. When it enters, you may search your library for an artifact card with mana value 4 or 5, reveal it, put it into your hand, and then shuffle.
The cycle's complete. The trophies, the trinkets,
yeah,
the mages.
Yeah, but they were really lazy with
complete?
How
they
finished it. They
didn't go up to like 8 or 9, right?
It's 6 or more is the top one.
Yeah,
there is a six or more.
Mage with 6 or more. I think this one is incredibly lazy because instead of just going, this is just 4 and finding the one ring and then having another one that's 5, they just said, fuck it, I don't want to have to do another one of these mages. We ran out of T words to put there.
Well, wait, is Trinket Mage 1 or less? Is that the one that covers 0?
Yeah, there's 1 or less, and then there's 6 or more, and then there's 2, 3, and then now there's 4 and 5.
Which meant that there should have been, because 2 and 3 were separate ones, all of them in the middle should have had their own separate ones. So
it is better that it gets 4 and 5, though. That's better than just 4.
But I'm going to give it a 0 because I'm angry about how this worked out with the cycle.
Okay.
So I'm giving it a 0.
Okay.
I think we need to have one printed that is just a mage that goes and finds any number of artifact cards that have an exact mean average of like 2.4.
Oh, interesting.
What about one that searches for one that's 0, another one for 1, and then another one for 2? Like it lets you find one of each mana
value.
Find
a card with the word mage in the title.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, we're going
better.
Like a tog-a-tog on
yes,
it? Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. This is Yu-Gi-Oh! All of a sudden.
Right now, in 2025, this card mainly probably finds the One Ring. It can find Birthing Pod, because that's technically 4.
KCI,
sure. What other 5 drop artifacts are there? Are there any that are good?
I don't think there's any good 5 drop artifacts
any good
that
ones.
You want. Wandering Archaeax, the only 5 mana colorless thing that I can think of, but you're right, it's not an artifact.
Oh, no, another 4 drop. The artifact in TNT.
Oh, Machine God's Effigy.
Yeah. Finds Machine God's Effigy. That's something. Eventually, if other cards get printed, obviously this finds more stuff. Right now, I don't know that I love it, but if you're like... the One Ring deck, maybe Derevi. Does Derevi want this
one thing
to
we
find
haven't
the One Ring?
Talked about it. Maybe goes in Teferi decks because does Teferi still run the Chain Veil? Is that like a thing? Is that part of the combo?
If you play Mono Blue Teferi, you're playing Chain Veil.
Oh, God.
Teferi and Derevi. Yeah, I think both of those decks might consider. I think it's great in Derevi because Derevi also is playing Birthing Pod right now, and it's like the One Ring is like the best card in the deck. So I think more ways to find it's good.
Give this a 1.6.
I'm giving it a 2. It's good in the decks that'll want it. And it'll get better over time. I'm gonna give it. Can I already gave it. Damn,
no
take
I'm not taking it back.
I think it should be higher than a 2.
Well, it's got a 1.2.
Fuck.
Wait, why did it get 1.2?
Because I gave it a 0.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the bad design.
Yeah, bad design, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
I think if it said just 4, it would be just as good. I think adding 5 for CDH basically does nothing.
Exactly, yeah. So that's another reason why I'm peeved about it. All right, this next one is... Tyler, do you know how to pronounce this next one?
I would say Vinwixt, but I'm not sure.
Vinwixt, yeah, Vinwixt.
Well, it's an 0-4 for 1 and a 2 with Start Your Engines.
1 and a 2.
It says...
I said one and a two.
One and a two. It's a creature. I was ready to start my engines. All right. So it's one and a blue for an 0-4 with Start Your Engines. You have no max hand size. And once you hit max speed, if you would draw a card, you draw 2 cards instead.
This is the best max speed payoff I think that I've seen. That
I agree. Double draw
is pretty crazy.
It is pretty nuts.
I don't know what deck is going to be able to turn this one on quick enough.
None.
The Starfish. What about the Starfish?
Plagon? This is an insane Plagon card.
I think it's a decent Plagon card.
The problem is Plagon doesn't damage their opponents.
I don't think this is an insane Plagon card. I think like the only world in which this is playable is if you build an entire deck around it in which you're running like every version of Flying Men, like 1-1 flying that you can, and extra turn spells in order to hit max speed, in order to draw more Flying Men and extra turn spells. I don't know.
Is there a scenario, though, with Plagon where on your turn you're like getting your Ephemerate back off of Rebound, and then you're passing with 9 cards and then you don't have to discard? Like, is the no max hand size actually going to work if you burst draw when you already have like Rhystic Study in play, maybe?
If decks aren't running Thought Vessel, they're not running this card.
No, this does so many more things than Thought Vessel. Yeah,
it doesn't. It only does if you hit max speed.
Why are you so angry right
now? I'm furious.
No, already, when you cast Plagon, it'll replace itself, which is way better than Thought Vessel already.
I don't think it'll see play in a ton of decks, but that max speed line, I think, is a very powerful line of text. So if you are in a deck that can trigger that quickly and you can benefit off of a couple other things, I think this card might be considerable.
We've lost to Teferi's Ageless Insight on the channel. So I feel like if we can get this speed turned on, again, Plagon's not good at dealing damage to their opponents. But actually, maybe it is. You make this thing's butt huge and then it starts to deal damage and then get your speed up. All right, better Plagon card than I thought. I'm going to give it a 2 because it will go in Plagon, I think.
I'm going to give it a 2.
So we're saying this is the card that like makes Plagon into like the Ass Attack deck. Like we're doing it.
No, but I think it's considerable. Yeah, I don't know that it makes it into that deck. I don't know that it dramatically shifts the deck in any or anything like that, but I think it's an option for the deck.
It having max speed makes me want to do that with Plagon with only this creature, because it's the only creature that needs to get in. And 4 damage with the Plagon abilities, better than Dranith Magistrate would do or something like that. So
yeah, Plagon does draw in huge bursts like that. So drawing 10 cards at a time, it can be hard to get rid of them all at once, and since you're a control deck, it might be nice to keep a couple extra cards.
Especially like if you want to play like Misdirection in your deck too, like it might help you build your whole deck. Weirdly, you shouldn't build your whole deck based on this one card. Yeah. That sucks. Yeah, I think it's gonna get a 2. Yeah.
I might be being unfair, but I'm just gonna continue to evaluate max speed as blank text on every card on which I see it. Doesn't exist. And with that in mind, I'll give this a 1.4.
I think that's fair, because I do think most of the time max speed is absolutely nothing. Let's see what 5.4 divided by 3 is. 1.8.
Okay, it has a 1.8, sure.
Wow, it's worse than Shefet Archfiend.
I agree with that, yeah.
All right, so we are finally moving away from creatures.
Most of the cards we're talking about today are creatures.
Most of what we're talking about is creatures, yeah. We have one sorcery that's called Full Throttle. This is a roller coaster, actually. This is part of the magic cards that are also roller coaster cycle. This is 4 and 2 red for a sorcery that says, after this main phase, there are 2 additional combats. At the beginning of each combat this turn, untap all creatures that attack this turn.
I don't know that this is good, but I think this is the first time that we've ever seen this straight up just take 2 combats on a card, besides the one that has flashback, which is sort of that, but that's like 3 and then 4, so this is 6, so cheaper than right away.
It's certainly interesting. I think it just costs too much, like in a world where it can just get countered. Like
Narset.
That's the only one where you can cast
Narset
for free.
I think 6 mana Narset, I think this probably goes in that
deck. That's a good point, yeah.
So there's 8 people that will love this for their CEDH deck. Yeah.
That's a 2, though, right? If it goes... Well, I think a 3 is it definitely goes in one deck, but
We've been doing 2 for this episode because of things like Pit Automaton and Gilded Goda. We were giving them 2s.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I mean, that's if they like probably go in the deck. If you think this definitely goes in Narset, maybe it's a little higher than a 2.
But Narset doesn't see a ton of play.
Yeah, I can't give this a 2 saying, oh, yeah, in original Narset, we'll see play and then feel good that it's on the same level as a card that might only see play in Magda for like the same reason. reason.
It's
so.
A sorcery, right?
It's a sorcery,
so,
yeah.
So, like, Calamex can't copy it. If there's some other weird commanders that, like copying spells that I can't think of.
Oh, does Storm want this?
Oh, Storm. This is a decent Storm card.
Because it will let you get two more Storm. It gets six mana. Like, that's six fucking impossible, so I guess.
Two. I give it a two.
I'm going to stay at 1.5.
I'll give it a 2.003. If I beat them to it, it can't hurt me. See?
2.003 is a great one.
Yeah, divide those three numbers.
Why did I?
That's worse than any of what you got.
Yeah, I'm just doing it to myself. So.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
1.8343 repeating.
Great.
Our one instant is Defend the Rider. This is a green mana for an instant. I said that. Choose one. Target permanent you control gains hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. Or create a 1/1 colorless pilot creature token with this token saddles mounts and crews vehicles as though its power were too greater.
The pilot thing, not super relevant. I think this card is close to something that's good. We have things that are like this. I think there's like a Tameo's something that's like a green mana, give something indestructible and hexproof.
Keeping,
but you,
Tameo's safe,
but you maybe you gain two life or something, right? This one makes a 1/1, so I think it's specifically notable because it can help you against edict effects. Edict effects aren't super popular in CDH, but if someone sacrifices a creature and you don't want to sacrifice a creature, this otherwise wouldn't protect it, but you can put a 1/1 into play that can. Sometimes the 1/1 will block a Ragavan and your brain will feel enormous. Sometimes it'll block an Orc Spellmaster that they didn't think you'd be putting a 1/1 into play. That's not going to happen a ton. But if you're really invested in like a low color green deck that needs to protect one permanent, I think this is a considerable card.
Your Sylvalas, stuff like
your
that.
Your Sylvalas,
Marwins.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. If you're on Tameo Safekeeping or like Snakeskin Veil or something, yeah. Like this is probably better.
I think so.
We have to ask
maybe,
an important question.
Maybe
though.
Not in Marwyn. Maybe Marwyn would still want Snakeskin Veil. That's a good point.
Because right, of the extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I think we're still on the right track. It's no Legolas's quick reflexes, but it's like the next best thing.
I have to know something though. Have all pilot tokens been like retroactively made to also do mounts? Or are there now pilots that do mounts and pilots that only do vehicles and they just
like
made
Shorakai,
that super confusing?
Shorakai's pilots,
right? Are they
crew
the same?
Mounts bigger?
Are there pilots that just have the incorrect token text now? Like,
I think some pilots are just better than other pilots and they can mount stuff. I give this card a 1.9.
A 1.9.
I'm not sure it'll go in any deck, but I think it's in the realm of something that I'm looking at.
I think I put it a little higher than that. To me, it's like the best in class of that effect. And like, even if it doesn't go in something specifically right now, I got to give that at least, I'll say a 2.3.
2.3, okay. 1.9, 2.3. What do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 1.654321.
All right, what's the average?
Can I copy and paste this number? No, of course not.
Hold up.
Copy paste.
This is what you get.
Yeah. 1.951443033.
And that's what it is.
And that's what it is. Great. Our next card is Demonic Junker. This is 6 and a black. For a 4/3 vehicle. Oh, but it has affinity for artifacts. Okay. When this vehicle enters, for each player, destroy up to one target creature that player controls. If a creature you controlled was destroyed this way, put 2+1/+1 counters on this vehicle, and it crews for 2.
I don't know what deck this goes in, but this has got to be good. In the deck that can play this, this is going to be a 1-mana destroy 3 target creatures. Right?
This is great for Glissa the Traitor.
Sure.
And I don't know what else,
what
though.
What black-based
like,
heavy artifact decks, like, unfortunately, you can't go in Ad Nauseam decks because it costs 1,000 mana, but you have to be in, like, black-based heavy artifacts. I don't know what deck that is, but the card feels very powerful
is
to
it,
me.
Is it Crick?
I might be think Crick? So, but, like, I feel like this still costs 1 billion mana.
Do they have
Crick.
They normally have maybe 3 or 4 artifacts.
Max. And this and, yeah. And Crick can only pay for that one black pip, so this would still be in a golden scenario. This is 2 mana, get rid of.
In a golden scenario, this is free. This is 0 mana in Kirk specifically. This is 2 life, destroy 3 creatures.
If you have 6 artifacts, that was like your whole hand, yeah. Which means you have this, the 6 artifacts that you played, and then Crick, and you lose that game.
Is there any world in which this goes in Yuriko? Because it has a huge mana value, but you might actually cast it for 1, and you want to remove your opponent's creatures to get 3 with Yuriko?
Yes, you don't play a lot of artifacts. Yuriko specifically plays like the Null Rods and stuff because you play so few artifacts.
You'll never cast
you have
this,
some like
but
automatons
Null Rod doesn't affect
stuff.
This.
Yeah, because
it doesn't
true.
Have an activated. Well, I guess crew.
But
crew
I'm just saying you don't play a lot of artifacts because you're on Null Rods. So
yeah,
not a lot, you're
if
not
you're only on
cheap.
5 in your deck, I don't think you're going to want this.
I think maybe if there's a certain build of Kirk, if there's an artifact leaning way to build that deck where you're doing more artifact shit, I don't know. I don't know where this goes, but I think the effect is strong. I think it'll see play in other formats too, in like artifact-based affinity strategies and 1v1.
I think for CEDH, though, it's going to get a 1.
A 1? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where I see it, and I think that the decks that like might want to run it, it's barely ever going to be free.
It's just a removal spell.
It's a good removal spell, but it's also sorcery speed too, like which makes it inflexible.
I'm going to give it a 1.7. Someone bring back Lotho decks.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give it a 2, but just because I think the ceiling is high, and I don't know where it goes, but I think it goes somewhere, so I'm going to give it a 2.
1.56 repeating. All right, Lifecraft Engine is next. This is 3 mana for a 4/4 vehicle. When it enters, you choose a creature type, and vehicles you control are the chosen creature type in addition to their other types. Each creature you control of the chosen type, other than this vehicle, gets +1/+1, and its crew value is 3. This is the most busted thing they printed for Magda in a hell of a long time, and we got Roaming Throne.
At first, I was like, I don't know, 3 mana feels like kind of a lot for what Magda wants to do, but I think like if they play Roaming Throne, they play this too.
And it is an Artifact Dwarf.
Artifact Dwarf itself, yes, like, and it makes other things Artifact Dwarfs too.
Yeah, like which is wild. So like vehicles that like you hate drawing in multiples now give you like more value and more treasures too. So like turning your what's the one that's for 2 mana that you can tap to exile 2 cards from a graveyard, right?
Untimely Hearst or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Runaway Hearst.
Runaway
or something.
Hearst.
Yeah.
I thought it was with a U, but yeah. Okay.
Unchaseable Hearst or something. Yeah. Perfect example of a vehicle that will become an artifact dwarf that then you can tap and make even more treasures along with it.
The lordship that it grants, the +1, is a little bit of help against Orcish Bowmaster in a deck that really honestly kind of needs help against Orcish Bowmaster. I think that's not nothing.
And honestly, because its crew ability is 3 with Magda out, all of your 1 mana dwarves, with the exception of Dwarven Armorer, will be able to crew this vehicle. So if it's
including
Magda. So if it is your only vehicle that you have, you can still do all the cool vehicle shenanigans while it is your combo piece too.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about this one?
If you buy into the theory that there's someone in R&D that like plays Magda because Magda just keeps getting cards, if you're that person, just like let me know. We'll come to some kind of arrangement. You're gonna love Kinnan, I promise.
I think this is a 4, right? Is this definitely goes in one deck, and the deck is probably a tier 1 deck?
It's something that like I feel like you would actively want to tutor for in Magda.
That's still a 3 to me because it's only one deck, but a 3.
I'm going to go 3.51 because I think it is legitimately better than Ketramos, but like, I don't know how much better than Ketramos since it's really only going in one deck, but I just want to make sure that it's better than Ketramos. So
it's 3.503 repeating.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
All right. Our next one is Radiant Lotus. This is 6 mana for an artifact that taps and sacrifices one or more artifacts so that you can choose a color to have target player. Why not just you? Add 3 mana of the chosen color for each artifact sacrificed this way.
Target player is kind of huge. Not a lot of cards do that. Being able to give someone else mana
is weird.
Yeah. Like if they have a counterspell and you're like, all right, I'll give you some mana if you can use your counterspell.
All those jokes that people make, can anyone give me mana? Like, for 6
now
mana,
someone
you actually
can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am curious though. This is still a mana ability, right? So like it can't be responded to. Because if this could be de-swatted, that's crazy could deflecting swat that. But I don't think you can. I think it's still a mana ability.
I think it is a mana ability. Yeah, you can't. So you can't do that.
Deathrite isn't a mana ability because of where the colon is.
The target is part of the cost.
Target's part of the cost.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoa, okay, that's not right. So Radiant Lotus's ability is actually not a mana ability because there is a target for the ability. So there is a moment where you can deflecting swat. So Tyler actually was right, and you can just ignore the last couple of things that we said. Radiant Lotus's ability can be responded to. So that's all I have to say. Let's get back to the podcast.
I don't know. This is another one. I don't know where it goes, but the ceiling is it makes fucking 500 mana. And honestly, kind of great that Dockside was banned because I can imagine like having this in play, casting Dockside to make 10 treasures and sacking them all for 30 mana or something.
Yeah.
That just goes very silly. Where does this go? I don't know. This is the same one. Like, we need another artifact home. Does maybe Joyra want this? Does Urza want this? Does Oswald want something like
it's
this?
It's tough. I feel like Teshar maybe because like that's one of the only ones that can get them back.
Yeah, you guys are missing it. It's Dargo. It's Dargo decks.
Dargo.
Oh.
Dargo decks, anything that's on Scrap Welder and Goblin, only Scrap Welder, Goblin Engineer won't hit this. I'm not sure that it ends up in those decks, but it definitely has a ton of text that Dargo cares about. There may be some kind of loop there that I just haven't quite put my finger on yet. I think Dargo is probably the best use case in CEDH. I just don't know which Dargo deck can really make use of it.
It's weird because it's 6 mana. Like, you already have 6 mana, but it does turn that 6 mana in the right deck into, like, and basically almost infinite mana, right? So, yeah, I don't know what to give this one because I'm, I just... I can't quite see where it goes, so I'm going to give it like a 2.3242.
You have to sacrifice three artifacts to make 9 mana for your 6 mana thing.
So then that really just makes 3 mana right away. But if you use it in a very unfair way, I'm going to make 10 clues. I'm going to play Tivit. And I have a bunch of clues. I'm going to sack them all.
That seems
five
really good.
Mana.
Yeah, that
or
seems really good.
What's the other... Is it the Sands Black deck? The like one that we did for Universes Beyond that like just makes clues for no good reason?
Yeah, Max,
oh, like
Max,
Max and 11.
Yeah, if you're making clues for no reason, you're making artifact. If you're in Tameo, maybe you have... Tameo probably wants to use those clues, but in a deck like that where you're just making extra artifacts for no reason...
It's 6 mana. That's what makes it tough. What did you give it? A 2.5 what?
A 2.3234.
I'll say 2.2.
2.3234 plus 2. What, Tyler?
2.2.
2 plus... I'm just going to say 2 because I don't know what the fuck is going on with it.
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
This is getting hard. 2.1744667.
Perfect. It's the perfect rating.
Weirdly not repeating. Yeah.
I agree with it.
Repurposing Bay is 2 and a blue for an artifact that for 2 mana and tapping it and sacrificing another artifact, you can search your library for an artifact card with mana value equal to 1 plus that sacrifice artifact's mana value. Put that card onto the battlefield and then shuffle, but you can only do this at sorcery speed.
Kind of a birthing pod?
Kind of a birthing pod.
It's kind of a birthing pod.
Worse than a birthing pod.
Way worse, because artifacts are worse than creatures.
And no Phyrexian mana.
Yeah, you can't activate for 1. You
but
have
it
to
is. It's another artifact tutor. Does Kinnan want this?
I'm really on the fence whether I want to test this or not. I'm having a very hard time like evaluating it just in theory, because there are plenty of times that it won't do anything, but it does feel like it's part of like the sort of inevitability plan where if you do get it down, like eventually you will be able to get yourself into Basalt Monolith with this. There's a couple other kind of interesting ways this can work out, I think, where, you know, if you just like play a 1 mana artifact like a Moonsnare prototype or a weird one, it just turns into Basalt Monolith after, you know, 3 turns. Let's say you play it, then you need to activate the following turn, then activate the following turn. Like, I think it's part of a long plan, and that means it's really telegraphed, which is unfortunate, so I'm not sure it's going to make the cut, but I might try it.
What about a Corridor Monitor? I think Corridor Monitor is like a 2-mana artifact creature that when it enters, you can untap an artifact. Then you can sacrifice any artifact, 0 mana or more, into something that it gets 1 or higher. So if you sacrifice a Soul Ring, you get the Corridor Monitor, and then that untaps your artifact. If you have more mana, you sacrifice a Corridor Monitor to get Basalt Monolith. I don't know if you want to play Corridor Monitor.
I don't know. I feel like if Oswald is CEDH playable and can get lines to together, I feel like there's something you can do in a better color.
I don't know. I think this is a good card, though. I really do. I think this is like just another artifact tutor. I think is going to be great in the decks that can play it.
It is. Yeah, it's just good.
I don't know if how broken it is necessarily. I don't know if it's a Kinnan staple or anything like that. But I think Urza definitely loves it. Any mono blue artifact deck, Joyra probably wants it. Any like heavy artifact deck, I think is going to look towards this.
Yeah, especially if you're playing like the keys in your deck. I feel like that's another great way,
definitely.
Like to be able to find your 2 artifact combo pieces that you need in a deck like Urza, so.
Yeah, the keys are great. Looking a 0 drop into a key, untap the thing, the key into the Corridor Monitor, untap the thing. Like, there's probably a line. It's a little bit mana intensive, probably, because you have to spend the 2 every time, but I think there's something we can do with this.
I predict that this is going to make Silas actually relevant about 3 more games than it ever was before.
Maybe. That's
only
interesting. That's interesting.
Silas into the One Ring.
Yeah, I wonder if Rog Sai would actually want this. I don't know.
I don't think Rog Sai wants it. No.
Yeah.
Not Rog Sai, but like Kadama Silas.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, Quark Silas is something that people are playing.
And
having a, like, mostly it's just for the colors, but maybe there's a world in which you play this to go into the One Ring, maybe because a lot of Kark decks are on Roaming Throne too.
I'm gonna give this a 2.8.
I was gonna give it a 2.9.
I'll give it a 3.
Nice. 2.9 is what it comes out to. All right. Our next card then is Thopter Fabricator. This is 2 and a blue for a vehicle that's a 4/4 flyer and crew 2. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 1/1 Thopter artifact creature token with flying.
That first part is good. Whenever you draw your second card, an effect. I like that. The 1/1 flyer. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure that it's enough of a payoff for it to be good, but the fact that like it works well with what you really want to be doing in CEDH while also actively pushing you towards getting enough creatures to kind of finish the game with combat damage even. I know that sounds ridiculous because I'm making a 1/1 flyer, but like it adds to my board so that my Gaia's Cradle is better, and it adds to my board so that like I have another creature to sack to my Diabolic Intent. Like it's just another thing that just like helps you push the game farther through mid-range hell.
Edric, not a deck anymore, but Edric probably wants something like this.
I think I end up evaluating this about where I evaluate Loyal Apprentice, except a little bit worse because it's a little more mana, and Loyal Apprentice almost never sees play, like in some very niche Timna decks. I think I'm giving this one like a 1.8, but it's not terrible. It's just not a super helpful effect.
You have to really be able to use the creature tokens that it makes. And this isn't a creature, it's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle, yeah.
So what about like poly decks? What are the like that don't want to play any creatures besides their one, but like maybe need extra stuff, like a Rograk poly tyrant?
Is there polymorph anymore?
Not really.
Like,
but
it's probably more spad, but like if you want to play that, like that
if you want to play that strategy, I think this is a card that could go in that one because it just gives you extra things to get rid of.
Rog Thrasios was a big polymorph deck. I mean, it used to be before it got good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 1.8.
1.82.
1.81. We'll make the math easy on Kim.
Our next card then is our only enchantment. This is March of the World Ooze. This is 3/3 green for something that says creatures you control have base power and toughness 6/6 and are oozes in addition to their other types. And whenever an opponent casts a spell, if it's not their turn, you create a 3/3 elephant. I forget that these two sentences go together. So you actually make
a 6/6. I don't know if this is good, but this is the type of effect that we have been looking for, I think, in CDH a lot. Where I talk about, we need a Rhystic Study that makes big giant creatures. We need something that like finishes the board. 6 mana for this is a lot, but this makes big giant creatures.
Yeah, I mean, some of the text is in the correct direction, but I think it just costs too much. It has too many green pips also.
But it's in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, but if this is like what you're doing with your Calling Ritual mana, like you've already lost the game because you brought this deck to the table. Like this is a casual finisher. And you're right, it's like it's in the direction of something
that's
like
really
design
all
space
I want to bring
that,
it up.
That
yeah.
really might matter for CEDH.
It's like a way better direction than Thopter Fabricator. Like that's something that's like kind of in the same way where like it does something that happens a lot during a game of CEDH. Like this is too. People cast spells not on their turn, but I think I agree. Like and this gets Besaged, like it can
if
really
if this
hurt.
Was 4 mana, I think it would actually be something. If this was a 4 mana 6/6, I think this would be a good card. If it had the same effect, obviously that would probably be very busted and casual, but in CEDH, I think if this is a 4 mana 6/6 that had the same line of text, I think it would be a good card. I think
4 mana 6/6 creature that had the same
that had the same text.
I think
it would be so good.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
so
no
like,
problem.
Yes, those are big steps and whatever, but I want to highlight that like it's in the right direction of like what would be good.
Yeah,
but not quite there.
For reference, because you're talking about like putting the power on board in CDH, to me, like the closest reference point of what it takes is I ran Koma in Kinnan for a while and I cut it because it wasn't good enough. But Koma makes a 3/3 on every turn, not just when someone casts something on not their turn. Granted, these are 6/6s, but you can also sacrifice those 3/3s to make Koma indestructible or to tap something and stop its ability from happening or stop its ability from being activated later in the turn. So point being that like that has a lot more relevant text and more flexibility, and that still didn't make the cut. So this is in the right direction, but it doesn't make the cut.
Yeah, a 2 for me, but I like what the card does.
I think I will give it a 1.5.
That's probably more
accurate.
It's
just a little too expensive.
I think I'll give it a 1.75.
Nice. That means it got a 1.75.
Okay.
All right, we have one last card.
Final card.
This is Muraganda Raceway. This is a land with start your engines, and normally it taps to make a colorless mana, but if you have the maximum speed, it taps for 2 colorless mana.
Like I said before, I'm evaluating all cards that say max speed as though they don't have that text, so this is a land with no upside that taps for only colorless, and that's a 0.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have put it on the list, but like it could be a soul land, which like in your Paragon Drake combos, if that's something you're trying to do, this is a little bit better than, but
someone out there is just like, can you please give me another Crystal Vein? Like, dying over here.
This one, I agree. You'd have to have a commander that would start your engine on turn one every single game, and then this could be maybe something, but yeah, I agree. This is probably a little bit too tricky to get turned on, but if you're in a low color, no, I don't think so. Yeah, I'll give it a 1.2.
Great. I'm going to give it a 1, I think.
In other formats, I think this might be something.
I think this could be something in other formats.
This might be a modern card, maybe. Probably not. Maybe.
In formats that you can more consistently play this on turn 1, I think it's a little bit better, but like...
I think the real question is this better than Temple of the False God? And my answer is no.
No, this is better than Temple of the False God.
Better than Temple of the False God.
I don't think you can turn it on as fast as Temple of the False God, because in Temple of the False God, you can ramp your lands and play the temple sooner. In this one, you have to hit max speed 4, and assuming you can't attack on your first turn, even if this comes on your first turn, you were talking about turn 5 at a minimum to turn
this
on.
This comes in and starts your engines right away?
When it enters,
so
you start your engines.
Turn 1, play this in, start your engines. Play a Ginger Brute with it. Attack. Yeah. 2 right away. On turn 2, attack again.
Oh, no,
3.
It's once per turn. Once on it increases
it
once
increases
on each
once per turn.
So on
right?
turn
it starts at 1 when you play this.
Yeah, and then it increases once per turn. You don't start at zero and increase to one, right?
It starts at one.
So you can get to two on turn one.
I think if you trigger, you can trigger it on the turn that it comes in. I don't think it says that you can't.
Okay, maybe this goes faster than I thought. I still think it's worse than
you
Temple
have
of
to have
gun.
The dream start of Gingerbrood. Who fucking plays Gingerbrood and needing the colorless mana? So you go to two right away.
What
on,
it does?
On turn two, you're at three, and then on turn three, you're at four, which is max speed. On three, it's a soul ring. That's faster than on turn five, which it would be Temple. But that's like a very specific all colorless deck.
That's also
right?
If you play no ramp, no land ramp
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this is casual, right? Because this is better than in CEDH and also in casual. The first card I cut in every precon that I open that I want to do something with is cut Temple of the False Gods, because you don't always have ramp, and like it's dead way more than this ever would be.
How about this? If I were to play a colorless CEDH deck, I don't know what that is. If I were to play a colorless CEDH deck, I think I would play this over Temple of the False God, because Temple, I would probably never turn it on. But this, there is a world where this could be two mana.
He loves this card.
You admit it.
I think it's still like a one.
Yeah,
it's still like a one. But it's the mana that makes taps for two. That's interesting to look at later down the line. Who knows?
All right, let's figure out the top five cards from Aether Drift. So here we go. Our number five card is Repurposing Bay. That came in at a 2.9.
I feel like that should be higher than five.
Well, let's see what the other one is.
Loot came in at number four, because we gave Loot a 3. Ketramos, we gave a 3.5. And that's our number three then. Our number two was Lifecraft Engine. That came in at 3.503 repeating. And then our number one card was Hashatan at a 4.27. Well, there you have it, everyone. These are the official play to win ratings
and
for all the
And we all agree with
cards.
Them and we all stand by them.
Science today has proved that these are how good these cards will be in CEDH.
Fellas, can we just admit that our ratings get lower and lower the more shitty cards we read until, like, by the end, we're just like, everything's a zero.
Everything's especially bad. As we get, like, tired after an hour. It's like, I'm not going to play this card. Never mind.
This is the eighth card we've read that no one's going to play.
Some people get upset about max speed. Not saying who, but...
Who's max speed?
Who, thanks very much for watching. If you want his first reference, you're on Patreon.
Pat Fires, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny, Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groompy, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Corner Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go-To-9, Kwaje, Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Huge thank you to Dragon Shield for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Thanks for watching.
Social media. Can you say something about social media?
What? Which ones?
Just we have it.
Check us out on all the socials for looking. Oh my God.
No, that's it.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
Thanks.
Ghost Stories, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabba Hamis, The Ace, Dalton Poti, Justin Man Solo, Jacob Dipyamada Fang, Thomas Plano, and David Nelson.
The blue birthing pod's probably actually number three, right? Probably better than Loot.
I think it's number two.
It's better than Loot, but I think it's still worse than Ketramos.
Because number two is the life thing. That thing only goes in Magda.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the number two should be...
It's number two or three.
I think the two mana to activate the bay is going to make lines really clunky. Like, if you're trying to go through chains, like, Vanifar costs no mana. Like, Birthing Pod is just one mana and some life.
A five-mana tutor is pretty bad, actually.
A five-mana tutor is really, for a very specific thing, really bad. And even though you can really redo it, honestly, we probably rated Repurposing Bay too highly.
Yeah, maybe.
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 Whatever.
Okay. Whatever.
The end?
The end.
All right.
Okay.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.